One word, pray. That's what we've been talking about over these last 4 weeks. Before that, we spent 4 weeks on another one word, and that word was doubt. And before that, we spent 4 weeks on one other word, Bible. So we've been trying to remind ourselves that some of the most basic teachings of Scripture can be summed up in one word. And we move from there asking God to use those words to teach us so that we can become more and more built into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We wrap up that one word pray today. And I call it painful prayer. Painful not in the sense that to pray is painful, no. But all of us experience pain at one time or another. For some people, pain is chronic. Talking just the issues of life. It could be physical issues. It could be mental issues. It brings with it pain. Pain can be elusive. Pain can be staring you in the face. As you look at your own life, the question simply is, how are you and I dealing with the pain that comes our way? It is a matter of perspective. And that's what I want to ask you to join me in this morning, is just reminding ourselves of the place of pain in our lives, how we respond to it or refuse to respond to it. A matter of perspective. Some people, if you were to put a glass before them, they would say that glass is half full. Someone else, you put the same glass in front of them and they will say, well, it's half empty. It's a matter of perspective. Some would look at a rose and would say, it's a pity that these roses have thorns. And then yet someone else would look at the same thing and say, isn't it good that those thorns have roses? It's a matter of one's perspective, the way you're looking at things. And I want to ask you to begin considering the role of pain and suffering, pain in your life. I think we ignore it. I think we need to be reminded that it is a part of our journey. I think that we need, if we're really honest with ourselves, we need to admit that we need to embrace pain, the pain in our lives. For God is at work in and through each and every thing that comes our way. The best place I know of to find these perspectives to help us understand is going to be in the New Testament. It's going to be the Gospel of Luke. It's going to be chapter 23. It's going to be that passage of Jesus on the cross. We know that during that last week of his life, he was in Jerusalem. And we know that on a Thursday evening of that week, he gathered with his disciples and they took the Passover meal together. Then they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there Jesus prayed a painful prayer. He prayed through his pain. He was put on trial all through that Thursday evening. And then the scripture tells us that on Friday of that week, right before the third hour of the day, which would be 9 a.m., because the Roman way of timekeeping had days to begin at 6 in the morning. And so the third hour of the day would be 9 o'clock that Friday morning. Jesus was nailed to a cross. That cross was dropped into a hole in a place called the Hill of Golgotha. We call it Calvary today. With him were two others who suffered the same fate on the surface as Jesus. And I want us to glance for just a few minutes today at those perspectives. Two people crucified on either side of Jesus. It's a matter of perspective, we say. And in Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34, listen to what God's word says. When they came to the place called the skull, There they crucified him with the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. We have a prayer here, don't we? We have a conversation of Jesus, the Son of God, conversing with God as Father. And what Jesus said is pivotal. But I want us to focus on each one of those criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Two different perspectives of pain. The thief on the right, let's look at him for a moment. In verse 39, it says, "One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and save us.'" From the very beginning of his hour spent upon the cross, this thief on the right, the Bible doesn't explicitly say it was the one on the right or the one on the left, so I just choose to label him as the one on the right. We give those people on the left side of things a hard time being left-handed, so let's just say that this guy is the one crucified on his right side. And what did he do? From the very outset, he felt pain, suffering. And where did he go with that pain? All we know is that he cursed from the beginning to the end. He mocked Jesus from the beginning to the end. He challenged Jesus to do what he said he could do if he was indeed the Christ, and Christ means Messiah, taunting him. Save yourself and save us. Bring us down from this cross. Pain turned against this thief. His pain was against him. From the very beginning, he never connected where he was and what he was experiencing to this man in the middle, to the eternal Son of God. No connection ever made. And when that connection is failed to see it, you're failed to understand it, then your pain always turns against you. To him, to someone who treats pain that way, where their pain turns against them, where they see no purpose in their pain, then what is this that we just read? It's just another execution on the pages of history of the Roman Empire. Nothing more and nothing less. For you see, folks, none of us are better simply because we have pain. None of us. Pain does not make us better. What counts is how we react to the pain that comes our way. And the lesson of the criminal on the right-hand side of Jesus, it's plain and simple, that there are always going to be those of us that when pain comes our way, we see no purpose in it. We respond to it with cursing. We turn away from the God who loves us. Our pain serves no purpose other than to drive us farther away, further away from those who love us, especially the God who created us. That's the thief on the right. But what about the other man? What about the one on his left? It says in Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 40, "But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, since you were under the same sentence of condemnation? Are we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.'" And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, the way I envision it is this. 9 o'clock that morning, The three crosses are placed upon the ground, in the ground. Jesus begins to pray immediately. The two criminals on either side, we know what one does all the way through. The one we just talked about on the right saw no purpose in his pain. And his pain simply took him deeper and deeper into despair and death. But the one on the other side probably started the same way. He had nothing but words of contempt. The pain that was running and coursing through his very body probably drove him to curse, just like the other one on the other side of Jesus. But then, what does the scripture say? It says that Jesus spoke and he prayed. And he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I can't help but think that this other criminal, this other one on the other side of Jesus, that when he heard those words, all of a sudden, his pain took on meaning. His pain became something important. Think about it. Otherwise, if the pain wasn't worth it, if the pain didn't have meaning, why would Jesus have embraced it in the first place? If it had no end, if it had no climax, if it had no reason, Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross, no doubt. He wouldn't have embraced it like he did. But I can't help but think that this criminal on the other side, when he heard the prayer of Jesus, he couldn't believe it. That this man who was being tortured, crucified, nailed to a cross, was actually willing and actually forgiving those who were punishing him, who were torturing him. See, for the thief on the other side, pain all of a sudden begins to become a cleansing fire. It becomes just like that fire, when it's put to gold, will remove all the dross, all the impurities. That's what pain can do when it has meaning in your life. It can either lead to death, or it can lead us, the pain can lead us to life. Folks, wasted pain, pain that we refuse to acknowledge, pain that we refuse to see that it has its purpose, and letting that pain work through our lives is wasted. It's nothing better than an unsigned check. You know, you can write me a check, put any amount on it you want, or I can do the same for you. But if I don't sign it, if you don't sign it, it's worthless. So is wasted pain. For us to see no purpose in it, for us to try to curse it away, for us to try and see anything else but what God is trying to do in our lives through the pain that we're experiencing, it's just not worth it at all if we don't see that. For you see, think of it in this way. From when we're this high, the games we play have obstacles, do they not? Anything you're doing, you put a tool in your hand and in 5 minutes you're going to figure out some way to use that tool. But it seems that we're at a total loss when it comes to the pain that comes our way in life. That though we've grown up in every activity trying to find a way to overcome, that's the way our lives are built. When it comes to pain, it's like we have no idea what to do. It's like we have no reason. We can't see in any instance of life where pain, where the overcoming, where the working through the pain has worth. But the game fish, which way do they swim? Downstream? No, upstream, against it. That's the way it always is. When the sculptor takes the hammer and the chisel onto the piece of marble, what is he doing? He is chipping away so that what is underneath and the vision that he had can be seen. When the seed is planted in the ground, it, what does it say? We say it dies. It dies so that it can bring out new life. The same for the grain of wheat. It's got to be crushed in order to make flour and turn in to bread. It's the woman who had the alabaster box who came and knelt before Jesus that last week of his life. And what did she have to do? She had to break the box. The pain had to be experienced. You see, friends, wasted pain is worthless. And we're all on one side or the other of this cross, are we not? There are those of us who our prayer is nothing more than take me down, Jesus. Get me off this cross. Remove this pain from me. And then there's another side of it that says, Lord, what I need to learn through the pain, guide me. The boy was doing things he shouldn't be doing. And his mother corrected him and said, son, you cannot walk across the top of the picket fence in the backyard. Something bad could happen. And that's exactly what did happen. The boy shattered the bones in his legs and he was never able to walk again. And when he was informed that his accident was going to cost him the ability to walk for the rest of his life, he then looked at his mother and he said, mother, I did this to myself. I made a poor choice. I know it's my fault. But if you will still love me, I can endure anything. If you will still love me, I'll survive. You see, folks, that's what this whole idea of pain is all about. You see, pain is sacrifice without love, whereas sacrifice is pain with love. You get it? This prayer for pain, does it matter? What was Jesus' response to the thief on the other side? When that one had said, you and I are dying deservedly. We're getting what we deserve. We should be here, but this man in the middle, he doesn't belong here. And then he turned and asked Jesus, what? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what was Jesus' answer in verse 43? Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Jesus, modeling what pain could do when it has meaning in your life, reached out and extended the same forgiveness and the same promise that he gives to anyone who will approach him and ask for help. This is the hard part. This is the part I'm not sure if I say it right, because when I say it, when I think it, when I'm back here before this hour and I'm trying to go through in my mind what needs to be done, what needs to be said, I'm not sure if this is it or not, but I think it is. And it's this. There are those instances in the lives of these two prisoners, these two thieves. I know good and well that they had, at a certain time when they believed in God, perhaps, they prayed prayers that were never answered. They prayed for this, and they prayed for that. Maybe one was turned to a life of crime, and even worse, because prayers were unanswered, so he thought. Because those prayers for material possessions, those prayers for wealth, those prayers for good health, whatever it might be, God at times doesn't answer those prayers of ours, does he? But there's one prayer he will always answer. There's one request that he will give us. And if you pray it today, I promise you, you will probably have that prayer answered before the day's done. And you know what that prayer is? Lord, give me pain. Lord, give me a cross. Give me a cross. If this is what I must do in order to be everything you want me to be, this is what I pray for. But see, we don't pray that prayer, do we? We don't have enough courage. We would say that makes no sense. I don't have a death wish. I'm not asking you to have that. But I'm asking you to pray that God will bring pain to our lives, because that may be, and it usually is, the only way we can become everything and everyone he wants us to be. You see, those material possessions, all those things we pray for that are so self-centered, what do they ultimately do? They push us away from God. They draw us away from God. But pain need not do that, because pain can draw us closer to God. The cross, whatever that might be in your life, draws us closer to God. And that's what God wants. He wants us. He doesn't want the world to have us. We belong to him. And pain is the means. It's the way. It's the only way that we can grow. Father, we ask you to take your word, bring it to pass in our lives. Father, I say, I'm ready to pray such a prayer, but I'm really not. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to grow. But to pray a prayer asking for such pain, it's beyond me. So, Father, I come to you and just ask that you strengthen us, strengthen me, bring about whatever it is that's got to happen. And the pain that we all feel, the pain that is real, doesn't matter where it comes from, whose fault it is. But Father, we know that that pain can be the doorway to growth. So Father, I ask for it. Bring it in my path. Make it real. And my prayer is that it be beneficial, that it have meaning. It's in your name we offer this prayer. Those of us who are willing to pray it. Amen. We wrap up our hour the way we do each and every time we gather. Or it could well be that there are choices, decisions that you need to settle before you walk out of this building and leave this campus today. It could be that you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus in his claim upon your life. Maybe this is the first time you really understood that pain inflicted upon him upon the cross was really our pain, our suffering, our sinfulness. And he died that we might live. And so to cross over that line of faith and say yes to Jesus is the choice that we all must make if our pain is going to have any meaning whatsoever. So we invite you to make that choice today. Let us pray with you, pray for you, encourage you. Maybe you know the Lord, just never connected with a church family, with a group of other believers. Great churches all around us. I say that each and every time I talk about this. But the point is, you need to find the church, the place, the family, the community where you can thrive, where you can be a blessing to others, where you can work through the pain that's in your life, that's real right now, and turn it into something that honors God. So coming and being a part of our church, we invite you to do that. To do it today. And then, for most of us, we follow Jesus. We're connected to a church, if not this one, somewhere. But the pain, we've never really understood it. We've never really tested God in that. We've never really come to a point to where we say, make my pain work. Make it have meaning. So whatever that is for your life, I challenge you to pray that prayer and see God at work in your life. I ask you to stand with us as we worship.